This is the official podcast of the 122nd Fighter Wing. Views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the 122nd Fighter Wing, Air National Guard, or United States government. No endorsement of any person or business is ever intended.
Welcome to another 122nd Black Snake Bites podcast. Your host today, Senior Master Sergeant Leslie Kaiser, First Sergeant, Maintenance Squadron. And on air with us today, introduce a supporting agency that maybe some of you know about, maybe you don't. She has brought life back into this program on base. And ma'am, without further ado.
Hello. Yes, good morning. I'm Kelly Harrison. I am with the Airmen and Family Readiness Program here on base. It's good to be with you here this morning.
Yeah, and fun fact, you've actually never recorded anything before.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. So, Ms. Kelly, being part of Airmen Family and Readiness Program, can you tell our Black Snake members and the Fort Wayne community a little bit more about the Airmen Family Readiness Program on base?
I've noticed since I've been in that position that we do a lot of grant work. Last year alone, we did over $200,000 in grants, which is great. There's a lot of community members out there that want to help our airmen, and so we have a lot of support in the community to help get members the resources they need. We can do all kinds of stuff besides grants. We can help with employment. I get a ton of job leads each month as well. Food insecurity, I can assist with that. Clothing, if there is any need for, when you deploy, I would check on your families and help with your transition assistance program when you're getting ready to go out the door. Just a wide variety of things that our office does. But like I said, the main thing I think we've focused on this past year has been grants, but can do so much more than that.
Wow, that's a ton. Even as a shirt, I think I'm learning a little bit more. So how did you get involved with this program?
So when Miss Connie Dothit was down there, she had been in that position for a long time, and I knew I was wanting to retire, and that would be a position that I think I would enjoy. So I started asking Connie to do parts of her job so that I could become familiar with it and then just show my skills so that hopefully when she did retire, I might be able to step into that role. And the stars aligned and it all worked out. So
that's amazing. Yeah, fun fact, you retired from actual 122nd Fighter Wing.
I did about 30 years. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, but still here to serve.
That's right. How long have you been in this position now?
This will be almost 2 years.
Yep. Wow. Yep. I know Miss Connie really took care of us too, but you've definitely brought back some life with a fresh set of eyes. One of those programs I learned about once becoming a first sergeant is our Key Spouse program. It's like, from my understanding, commander ran program, but you definitely carry the bulk of that weight of that program, and then the shirts are utilized to help. Yes. Can you explain a little bit more about that program and the key spouse getting involved?
Yeah, so normally it is either a wife or husband of a member here on base, but it can be open to anyone if a parent wanted to do it even, or, you know, someone in your family, they could volunteer to be a key spouse as well. They're actually looking at changing the name to a different name so that it doesn't sound like it just has to be a spouse. But for now, it's still called key spouse. Normally, they will check on family members while their loved one's deployed and check in monthly with the shirt just to see if there's anything going on and see if there's anything that they can assist with. So far, we've done a few things like when we've had deaths in the unit as far as taking food to the family members and things like that. They want to help. They want to be part of military family. They're just here to provide peer-to-peer support. We are looking for some key spouses, so the more we have, the better, the more support they can provide to the units. But so if you know of anyone who's interested, just have them reach out to me, and we'll have them come to our next meeting. We only do quarterly meetings, so it's not a huge time-consuming commitment. We do like to also like send out care packages and stuff like that when members are deployed as well. So interested, send them my way.
Yeah. How can they find you?
You can email me at kelly.harrison.7@us.af.mil, or you can call me 478-3409.
And you have a Facebook page too, right?
I do have a Facebook page, yes. Over in the DFAC even, there's QR codes. So if you want to just scan it and then start following us on Facebook, you can do that as well.
That makes it really easy. Our key spouses are so unique in the fact of, you know, deployment doesn't necessarily have to be that. It could be a metaphor for when they're gone at tech school or any type of training environment event. I know personally you've helped a ton, just any type of extra involvement when we get tasked to do other things.
Yeah. And they volunteer for some of the activities that we have on base, like the kids' Halloween and Christmas party and stuff. So yeah, they kind of do a variety of things.
Yeah. I feel like hearing you speak on it, our base and being part of the Fort Wayne community, we're really lucky in the fact of how uniquely close we work with our community. I don't hear that guard-wide, how much support we get in our community and other factors and variables. What does that look like on your end?
Luckily, those connections were established even before I got here. We have NIBCC, who is a huge supporter of us. It's Northern Indiana Base Community Council. They provide grants, but then they've also helped to support us like for events like the Tin Cap Night and stuff like that. So they're a huge supporter of our base. And then we have associated churches. They can help with more of the little things, but they can help like pay overdue utility bills. They can help with clothing and food assistance. When baby formula was low, they got me extra baby formula.
Right. Like, I remember
they
that.
They have a lot of different kind of unique advantages that they've helped us with. And they're the ones that actually do the Thanksgiving meal program for us and Operation Holiday Joy, where the families get adopted. They do the majority of that as well. So they are a huge help to us. USO has always been a staple as well. They do a lot as far as volunteer work with us, and then they just like to be here and be around our people and make sure that they're supported. So they're you'll see them at a lot of our events in general. And then we've got some others as far as like when we have big events like the A10 event that we had, there were quite a few businesses even that contributed, like Fort Wayne Metals, Airshow Inc., you know, different ones like that that helped contribute to make the A10 event a success. So yeah, just lots of community support. And honestly, they a lot of times will reach out to me and just ask what they can do to help.
That's awesome.
And so it's great.
We're very lucky.
We are.
So Kelly, in closing, I've learned a little bit more being a SHRT and how I can utilize you more than what I feel like I already do. But what are just a few key takeaways in addition to what we've already talked about and what you've shared with us, how Airmen Family and Readiness can help support members on base? If someone took away one thing from this, what would you want it to be?
Well, I think my first thing would be is don't be too proud to ask for help. We all go through times in life where we need a little assistance. So that's number one. And then I would say at least ask, even if you don't think I can help. Give me your situation and let me tell you no. Let the grant people tell us no. But unless I know that you need help, I can't help you. So come see me. Let me help you the best I can. And if we don't have a resource for it, I'll certainly try to find one.
I appreciate that. Kelly, thank you so much today. It's been an honor.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. This is Lieutenant Rogers from the Black Snake Bites team, taking a quick break to thank you for listening and supporting this podcast. We want to spread the word beyond the 122nd Fighter Wing to family, friends, and anyone who wants to learn more about the United States military. Please take a moment to share this episode on social media or leave us a review on your preferred podcast platform. And for our Black Snake members, if you are interested in volunteering your skills to work on the Black Snake Bites production team, please reach out to myself, Lieutenant Elizabeth Rogers, at the Operations Group, or to Senior Master Sergeant Leslie Kaiser at the Maintenance Squadron. Thank you, and please enjoy this next interview with Megan Ross, our Director of Psychological Health.
Good morning, or afternoon, depending on when you're listening to this. Again, my name's Megan. I've been here for about 10 years now, and I'm super excited to share with you guys today.
Thank you, Miss Megan, for joining us today. in talking with you a little offline first before we got started, tell us a little bit more about the Director of Psychological Health, this DPH role that has been assigned to our base.
So the program was started back in 2011. They came on board as contractors. Nobody really knew for sure what they were supposed to be doing.
Right.
I came on board here in 2013. So I did 1 year as a contractor, and then eventually we moved into federal employee positions. There was a need for mental health access and advocates for mental health access. And so they created this position so that we could become embedded on base, so people could get used to us and help, you know, combat that stigma for seeking mental health help. It's a really cool job. It's the best job I've ever had as a social worker. So
that's awesome. I know for the last 10 years, we have definitely enjoyed having you around here.
Thanks.
It's been really nice. Tell us a little bit more about what a DPH does, or maybe what they don't do.
Okay. So primarily, we do assessment and referral. We don't do treatment. So that's a big misconception that we have, is that you're coming to me for therapy. In the outside world, I could do therapy, but within my scope here, all I do is an assessment and referral. I do an assessment, I come up with a diagnosis, and then I find the best resource for you to go get help. I also do leadership consultation. Sometimes it's just a, hey, I've got a member who is behaving a certain way, and should I be concerned about that? Or what can I do to help this member? And then I also can help with navigating the medical system. We do document in medical records now, in your electronic medical health record. It's very minimal documentation, but it's important for you, because when you retire someday and you want to go get those VA benefits, you'll have that supporting documentation in your record to show that you did seek mental health help. So that's kind of a basic overview. We do so much, but those are kind of just the primary top three.
Yeah. What are some things that maybe you don't do or you cannot do? Like you mentioned treatment.
Do not treat is the main one that is pounded into. Oh, I know. We also cannot go to people's homes, mm-hmm. Or meet off base. We do have to meet with members on base. So that's important to know, because, you know, some of the other helping agencies, I know Kevin with the financial guy, he can meet in other locations and things like that. But just for safety reasons, we cannot do that. I cannot help you get a therapy dog. I'm sorry. I can help refer you to somebody that can help you get a therapy dog or an emotional support dog. But I have been asked that one a few times since I've been here. And unfortunately, I can't help with that, because they do want a diagnosis. And my diagnosis is what's called a diagnostic impression. It's just saying, after one session, this is what I think your diagnosis is. But then when you go to your civilian provider is when you would get your true diagnosis.
Gotcha. Are you able to help with families? We have dependents and such, and dears. Are you able to help with them?
I am. Okay. I am allowed to do one assessment and referral. I cannot do case management. I forgot to mention on that, because with you guys, I can follow along and make sure that you are getting the help that you need. For example, you go to this therapist and you decide that you don't like them, or you decide therapy is not for me after one session, then I can come back and help you either find somebody else, or we can work through that and talk through that. But with a family member, I can only see them one time and get them connected with services outside.
Yeah, maybe sometimes that's all it needs, right? Just something to kickstart and break down those barriers and walls. And this is just for me and my own personal, can life just be a diagnosis or a diagnostic impression? We all deal with life.
Yes.
Can we just come see you when something randomly pops up and it's just life?
And you just need to vent sometimes?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have and a you're lot not of venters, and I don't write those ones down.
So, meaning, like, hopefully you don't remember everything?
Oh, no, I don't remember. I have a terrible memory, and I'm sorry, because I know I've had people that have come to see me in the past, and then they come maybe like 2 years later, and they're like, don't you remember when we talked about this? And
yeah.
No, I'm sorry. This is why I document, because I don't remember anything.
Well, maybe that's not a bad thing. You're not sitting there judging or analyzing or knowing all of our deep, dark secrets.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And that is another a big myth that I would like to debunk there, is that I'm always walking around analyzing everybody. When I walk into your shops, I am not there to analyze you. I'm just there for you to feel comfortable with me so that you get to know me and realize that I'm not just the crazy lady, and that I am human and I'm okay and safe to talk to. So.
Yeah. I get to see you sometimes at our open mess on base, and we just get to hang out and have a drink, tea, water of choice, right? Like whatever.
Yeah.
You're human too, and I appreciate that aspect in you, because I think that's a unique, that's a barrier that we can definitely, and sometimes just being on base, you're just curious, like, what do you guys do?
Yeah.
Like, maybe I need a break from my job, right? Yeah. I know for me, I just like to get out and about so I can be curious on what other people do, because I, you know, no offense, I like to take a break from people every once in a while, too. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's what I did when I first started. I had a lot more time than I do now. But when I first started, I just went around to every shop and I was like, tell me what you do. And I went down to the fire station. Chaplain Bearden and I went down there one day and we suited up in the fire gear and rode around in the fire truck. And, you know, and it just helps break down those walls for people to, that, you know, I used to walk in a room and they would be like, oh, no, here she is. What, like, who's she here to talk to?
Right.
And in all reality, I'm just there just to get to know you guys and for you to get to know me. So you see me out and about, just talk to me. Don't be scared of me. I'm not analyzing you or assessing you when we're standing in the parking lot having a conversation. It's not until we get behind closed doors and you sign my statement of client understanding, where we discuss my limits of confidentiality, that's when I will begin assessing you.
Gotcha.
Not in the parking lot.
Good to know.
And not at the FWOM.
Very good. And with that, you've probably made some friends out here on base, right? Like, you're human too. We all connect somehow. That I don't think that's a bad thing either.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have made friendships. We're adults. And where do you make friends as an adult? You make them at work. And there's a fine line in this role that I have to walk, because anybody out here could potentially be a client. And so I, you know, people that I have become friends with know that if they need help, I'm going to connect them to wherever they need to get help. But I'm not going to try to treat them, which I wouldn't do with anybody anyways.
Right.
But and then also, you know, just to debunk any fear that because I have friends that I might take part in gossip or things like that. You know, one of my code of ethics is the confidentiality that I hold very, very dear. And the confidentiality piece of my job, anything that we talk about is confidential, with the exception of any threat of harm to yourself, someone else, or to the mission. If you were to admit a crime, any abuse, anything like that, I would have to report those things, hospitalizations. Those are the things that I do have to report to command. But if you just come and talk to me, I'm not telling your commander that you came and talked to me without you signing a release of information that says I can tell them. And so confidentiality is huge. It's a big part of my job. And so making friends with the people out here, they know that. All, you know, all of my friends that I've made, they have never heard any stories from me. And like I just told you, I forget them when you walk out my office anyway.
Right.
So, you know, it's important for people to know that they can trust me, even though I have friends.
Right.
Because, yes.
Even though you're human. Right.
Yes. And I, you know, I do have people that I talk to. Most of the time, the things that are happening out here aren't that heavy that I need to go and talk to somebody about it. But if I do have a rough day, where there are some days where I'll see seven people in a day, and at the end of the day, my brain is fried. And so I have coworkers that I talk to, not here, right. other DPHs across the country that I'm friends with, that we call each other and vent, or I also utilize the chaplains as well.
That's awesome that you, in addition, use your services. I think that's something to be said in your profession. We can't do it alone.
Oh, no.
When you talk about referring, and I'm sure it's based on the situation, mm-hmm. where do you refer people to? Like, what are most of the services that you hear the most need for?
Yeah. We utilize the vet center a lot, and we're very, very blessed to have them here in Fort Wayne. There's also a location in Indy. They are free. And they are under the umbrella of the VA. However, the VA cannot see your records there. We cannot see your records. Like, I can see your VA records, but we can't access your vet center records. So it's an awesome resource that we have available. And it used to be you had to have veteran status, but they got a grant recently. So now if you are serving out here, you're eligible to use the vet center.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so I use them quite a bit. I do have a handful of private providers that I have gone and done lunch and learns with them, and I've taught them military culture, like basics. You know, don't come and slap my people with bipolar disorder unless you truly have gone through all of the diagnoses. Don't Right. throw them on controlled medications unless they truly need those medications. So I do have a handful of those providers. We have Star Behavioral Health Resource, Military OneSource. But then if you aren't from Fort Wayne, which a lot of you aren't, I also have DPH friends all over the country that I can call, and not just Air Force, but also Army Guard as well. So, you know, we have Chelsea Thompson from AMMO, who is the full-time DPH with the Army down at Atterbury now. So, you know, I have resources all over the place that I can call to find you help.
That's really good. So when you travel and you go speak, what's the reason behind that? What's the message that DPHs across the military sector are trying to give and provide?
I think a lot of it, when we, you know, I just got back from ELS, and part of the goal of going down there is to get to spend time with you guys outside of the base, again, breaking down those walls, but then allowing you to see us in a different light, that, you know, we're not just sitting behind a closed door analyzing people all day.
It's not the old time, old school mentality of mental health.
Yeah,
there's been a shift.
You don't come and lay down on my couch. I mean, some people do, but
I would like a nap.
Yeah, you don't come down there and lay on the couch, and I don't say, you know, so what I hear you saying is, like, right. You know, it's education. You know, the best way to fight stigma is through education. And so when we can get in front of you guys and explain what it is that we're truly doing, then we're educating you, and you're able to educate other people or refer other people to us.
So. Right. Especially that education within the military.
Yeah.
We operate on such different code of conducts and things that we have to abide by.
Yeah.
That it's nice to know.
Yeah. And that's the good thing about utilizing me, is that I can help you navigate that whole medical piece. Like, I touched on it briefly earlier, but I have so many people that'll say, I'm scared to go get counseling, or I'm scared to take medication, but I can help navigate that for you. So come and talk to me. There is no list of what medication is okay, what medication isn't. But I can definitely help you navigate that system. So, you know, if you need to do those things, then absolutely do them, and I'll help you navigate it. So
we all have a team in us.
Yes.
Just in wrapping up, what's something you would want someone listening right now to take back for themselves or within their unit?
Just don't be afraid to get help. And again, I would love to see every single one of you out here, but if you're not comfortable coming to see me, that's okay. That doesn't hurt my feelings. I don't care where you get help. Just go get help if you need it. I'd love to be the one to help you navigate the system, because some of the civilian providers don't know the military wickets that we have to run through.
Right.
But again, I don't care where you go get help. Just go get help. Don't be afraid to do it. We have so many people that have gotten help and they're still here and they're still serving. We'd rather you take care of yourself than just not take care of yourself and then break.
Right. I think we have enough invisible wounds. When we can take care of one, it starts to help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where can we find you?
I am in office number 12 in the DOC, which is the Deployment and Wellness Center downstairs in the Wing Building. Building 780. Yeah.
Awesome. Megan, thank you so much for today. It's been an honor to get to talk to you and learn more about what you do out here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.